Megan, I have been using our sponsor Element, that's L-M-N-T, to boost my hydration for over a month now, and I'm really loving it. I'm just not very good at drinking plain water, and I love the taste when I pop one of these little packets, I like orange or grapefruit, into a big bottle of water. It's kind of fruity and salty, and it just helps me hydrate better overall.
Element is a zero-sugar electrolyte drink mix born from the growing body of research that shows the best health outcomes occur with higher sodium levels. Each little pack delivers a significant dose of electrolytes, but minus sugar, artificial colors, and other iffy ingredients. Element's flavors are so unique, like fruity watermelon salt and spicy sweet mango chili. And we're going to set our listeners up with a variety pack so you can find your favorite.
Right. You can receive a free Element sample pack containing 8 flavors with any drink mix purchase when you purchase through our custom link, drinkelement.com/momhour. That's DRINKELMNT/momhour. This offer is available exclusively through our partnership and is available for both new and returning customers. And if you're an Element insider, you'll have first access to Element Sparkling, a bold can of sparkling electrolyte water. Again, it's drinklmnt.com/momhour.
Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, and we're the hosts of The Mom Hour.
On this show, we're joined by a team of unique mom voices from across the country and in different stages of motherhood to bring you tips, ideas, and encouragement, and to help you feel a little less alone.
We all know that motherhood is a lot easier when real moms share honest truths and remind each other that it's all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 464 of the Mom Hour. I am Sarah Powers here with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Sarah.
So my oldest child turned 16 last week, and I know you and I have been talking about teenagers both on and off the podcast, probably a little more lately, probably because I have 2 of them now and your 2 left at home are both teenagers. So today we're just leaning all the way into that. We're talking about like very stereotypical teen milestones, and we'll get into whether these are stereotypes and whether they're even milestones anymore. We'll get into all that. But we thought it would be fun to go through some of the quintessential teen milestones and talk about how, as moms, these have either matched up to our expectations of what we thought it would be like when our kids reached them or totally not. So there's a lot to unpack here. And we had fun coming up with, I mean, we purposely leaned into like the most basic, like the things everybody out there would think of when they think of teenage milestones. But then we're going to talk about why that maybe those don't even apply anymore.
And if you grew up in the 80s or 90s and you watched any movies during that time, you might have felt like a lot of these were baked in, like they were baked into the experience of teenness.
Right.
And I think we're finding now that maybe they never were. Maybe it was always a fiction. But even if they are, that doesn't mean they are for every kid. And if you're a newer listener, you might not know this, but I have 3 adult kids who are fully through teenagerdom, and then a sort of elderly teen, an 18-year-old, and then a middle-aged teen, a 15-year-old. So I've had teenagers for a long time.
Yeah.
And I will say with this list that we're about to kind of rattle off, I've had almost every experience of what these milestones can look like. And I'm not even done yet.
Yeah.
With teenage parenting. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I'm thinking of our listeners with really little kids. I think sometimes, or at least you all tell us this, sometimes it's fun to look ahead. And I would hope that it's also helpful to hear some of these myths debunked in some ways, even if you tuck it away. And then in 10 years, you're like, I remember Megan and Sarah saying that that right. wasn't quite what it's cracked up to be in the 80s movies. So,
yeah.
So as a reminder, my kids are, well, just turned 16 last week when this airs, as we record this. He's not quite 16. And then I have another one who's 13 and will be 14 in like a month. And then I have an 11-year-old. So I have enough cred, I guess, to speak on some of these topics. But Megan, there will be plenty of these where I'm like, nope, hasn't happened yet. Not sure if it's going to happen. So I definitely have not logged as much teenage parenting as you have. I guess before we launch in, I think it's helpful to have a conversation around some of the emotions that come up for moms when we talk about kids reaching milestones. And it's so funny, Megan, because this is true whether your baby is 2 days old and you're waiting for their first I don't know, what's a 2-day-old milestone? Like opening their eyes for longer right. than a minute. Or whether they are 18, like Owen, and looking at colleges, there just is this very natural inclination we have as moms to compare our kid either to other kids in their peer group, or maybe, and I think this happens with teenagers, especially to what we experienced growing up. So with teens, we're almost doing it twice, where we may yeah. be comparing them to others in their peer group, and we may be comparing them to what we were like at that age. So just a friendly reminder that I guess to be gentle with yourself around expectations of milestones. We also know that there are kids, neurodiverse kids, or kids dealing with learning disabilities or medical challenges who just are not going to be on the same timeline as like the quote unquote book milestones. And that can be painful. I think it can also be a great learning experience as a parent. I think the parents I know who have kids who aren't on a typical timeline end up being more compassionate, more curious. So I actually think it's a gift in a lot of ways if you have kids who don't match up with typical timelines, but it's just a lot. That's all. That's yeah. my disclaimer.
Yes, all that. And it's so funny that like some of these things are even considered milestones because they're not all the same thing as a baby. Like if your baby doesn't open their eyes when they're 2 days old, you probably are like, okay, this is unusual. Something is going on here developmentally. But a lot of what we think of as like milestones are just things some kids do and some don't, mm-hmm. don't ever do. So they're not even necessarily, they're not necessarily typical, but they're also not necessarily like milestones in the way we right. even think about those words.
Right. Not the yeah. kind that is hardwired in. It's more like societal expectation
exactly.
milestones.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. I'm thinking of the year school shut down for COVID. And I saw a little of this the following year too. And I did have I had more than one high schooler at the time. And I remember there being, but not a senior. And I remember there being parents who were like really, really upset because kids didn't get to have what they thought of as a typical senior year of high school. And I could totally empathize with that because I was like, yeah, like I loved my senior year of high school. I went to prom, I did all these things. Mm-hmm. And these kids aren't getting to do that. But then I also know people whose kids were kind of relieved they didn't have to pretend they wanted to do that. Or
yeah.
it was just not an issue. They didn't care. And there are things like, I think that have kind of carried over from our experience of high school or teenagerdom that kids relate to differently. I'm thinking of professional senior photos. None of my kids cared at all about mm-hmm. that so far. Class rings, jackets, excitement around homecoming, things like that. It's not like nobody cares anymore, but a lot of it has shifted and changed. Driving yeah. is another one. I know we're going to talk about that in this episode, like what that experience can look like. It's becoming more and more common for kids to delay driving, to not really care about getting a license. And when I started that, when that came on my radar, that was a trend, it kind of blew my mind because as yeah. a kid growing up in a small town where everyone got their license like the minute they turned 16, I thought, well, this is really strange. Why don't kids want to drive anymore? And then I actually had teenagers and realized it's more complicated than that. The world has changed. So I think, too, it's so hard not to project our own high school experience because maybe it was only 20 years ago or something. But things have changed and kids are different. And so yeah. it all impacts it.
It does. And I'm thinking this through on the spot in real time, but I guess the advice we would give is almost the same, whether your kid is tiny or huge, which is that they are on their own path. You can't always see like the next few steps ahead. And while it's great to have like an eye on how things are progressing, I think we would tell most people it's probably going to work out okay, even if they are not doing the thing that you think maybe everybody their age is doing. And that's true whether they're little or big.
Our friend Asha Dornfest has a great Substack publication that's, I think, called Parent of Adults or Parenting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love her stuff.
And she had a community question not too long ago, and it was basically someone from one of her readers basically asking, is it okay that my kid is not interested in dating? And it led to kind of this really nuanced conversation. But that's like a perfect example of things that we just expect to go hand in hand with, I don't know, being 15, 16, 17, someplace yeah. in that range. And it's for not everyone, it looks that way, but it's not looked that way for everyone ever,
right.
you know? So it's, Yeah, it's like, keep an eye on it. If there are other things that go along with the not reaching the milestone, like not only did they not go on a first date in high school, but also they've never talked to anyone like out, then maybe that's something to keep an eye on. But like the first date thing is perhaps a marker that we assign a little more importance than it needs to have.
And I would say it's probably two or three generations old in terms of societal expectations. We're just like now sort of outgrowing it, maybe officially, but even like the idea of a first date and someone coming to your door with flowers and shaking your dad's hand was pretty archaic even 30 years ago when I was 14. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It was the stuff of movies and books. But like we may just be shedding, and I'm not here to say whether that's good or bad, but we may just be like really shedding some relics and seeing that with our kids and having all kinds of feelings about that. And all the feelings are okay. Well, should we dive in to the classic, and we're putting giant air quotes around everything, the classic teen milestones. So let's talk about first jobs. How have a teenager's first jobs matched up or not matched up to your expectations?
Well, this is an area where I had all kinds of expectations because I got my first real job at 13. We talked about this before. I took tassels off corn.
Yes, that's been a long time though. So like long time listeners will know exactly what you're talking about because I think it holds the record for most number of emails we ever got about something.
So it's a very Midwestern thing. I lived in a very rural small town. And you would basically go to, it was a summer job. It was like toward the end of the summer when corn was not harvested yet, but it was high as an elephant's eye. Yes. And we would go bust out to these farms. And then you would like walk down the rows and you had to remove the pollinators from every other row of corn so that they wouldn't cross pollinate. I can't really remember much else about the job, except that it started off extremely cold at 6 o'clock in the morning. And by noon you were dying of the heat. And I was hungry and thirsty the whole time. And the thing that was so interesting about it was that it was truly like a community affair. Like many of my teachers, my vice principal would work on these crews.
Oh, yeah.
And they would be out in the fields with the kids because it was just like a different time and a very different sort of environment. Like it was very much like your teachers did everything. They taught driver's ed. Yeah. They ran your first job. Like it was just a very different experience. And I sort of thought there would be an equivalent for my kids when they were that age. And we just live in we're still in a small town, but it could not be more different. Like where Buchanan, the school that I went to was 30 minutes from here, would be seen as like the country hick kids compared to the town of 8,000 people that my kids' schools are in. And that's just not. It's just a totally different environment. I cannot imagine that happening here. I can't imagine the kids being encouraged to do it, honestly. I think they'd probably be doing art camp and like stuff like that. It's just
13
a totally,
and 14. Yeah.
Yes. It's a different environment. Like go study your music because you're going to try to get a scholarship or go do your sport, do a sport.
Yeah.
And the athletics department isn't going to let you out of football practice so you can go work.
Right.
There's just, it doesn't work. So that was my first big, like, oh, this is all different now. And then I thought, okay, well, my second job was I worked at the Shell station. It was, you know, maybe a 7-minute walk from my house. I was selling cigarettes at the age of 15 to kids who would come in with a written note from their mom.
Gosh.
Which I was allowed to sell to those kids.
That's like, amazing.
Yeah. Their mom sent a note.
Don't take that the wrong way.
For their mob roles or whatever. I was still allowed to sell to those kids. I was taking credit. So like people would drive up. There was a book that I would get out and I would. Now it makes it sound like I was, you know, it was like 1960 or something. It was the mid 90s, but it was like a very small town place and it had been around forever. And so there was like a credit book and I would flip to the charge account and the people at the pump would give me a thumbs up and I'd thumbs up them back and I'd write their name down the amount. And then they'd come in at the end of the month and pay their bill. So that would just never happen. There's not a world right now that I can think of, at least not in the world my kids grew up in, where like that sort of job would even be available to a 15-year-old kid. Like it just, It wouldn't be. And where I lived, most of the people working in gas stations were adults. It just isn't the same. So, yeah. And a lot of them sell beer, and then you can't work in those if you're under 18, I think is the cutoff. So I started to quickly realize that a lot of the experiences I had for first jobs were just not going to line up with what my kids could do. I think the expectations of babysitters have gone way up. I was babysitting when I was 11 years old and I did not have CPR training. So all of that is like preamble to say my kids started working a lot later than I did.
But can you give an age?
I want to say Jacob was 17 when he got his first job. Isaac, I think, was 16. Will was probably the youngest at 15, but that was like it was a blip. And then they would do odd jobs and stuff. So if if I had friends who worked in like in real estate and maybe they need a house cleaned out or something and the kids might go show up there, but they were all kind of on the older teen side. And they were usually things like a fast food restaurant that, you know, that we knew hired kids. It felt a lot more daunting for them to get jobs, and they felt very conflicted about like their responsibilities as high school students versus jobs. Like there were teachers who actually would say like, you're going to have to be studying every day. Like you don't have time for a job. Not all my kids. Cause not all my kids have done that kind of like honors classes and stuff, but there were definitely
mixed
academic mixed messages around the importance of that and whether they could even do it. And if they were doing any sports, it was kind of out of the question while they were in the sports. My kids weren't super athletic, but all of them played at least one sport at some point.
Right.
So yeah, their first jobs were, I feel a little sorry for them because I feel like their first jobs were kind of boring and like a little later than they might've benefited from. But that's been our experience.
Megan, the end of the school year and kickoff to summer is a busy time of the year for families, but we can all eat stress-free and hit our wellness goals with ready-to-eat meals from our sponsor, Factor.
Factor's delicious meals are never frozen and can be ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can pick from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular choices like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Plus, they have more than 60 add-ons like breakfast, lunch, snacks, and beverages to keep you fueled all day long.
So our team was comparing notes recently on our favorite Factor meals, and Katie loved the herb-crusted chicken with mashed cauliflower and toasted almond green beans. I loved that one too. And get this, so did her little boy, Charlie. She heated it up for lunch one day, and Charlie, who's 3, ate almost all of the green beans. I mean, that's quite an endorsement, right?
I was going to say, what a parenting win. And I get it, Charlie. Those green beans are crazy good. And if you really want to treat yourself, they even have meals with filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Listeners, head to factormeals.com/momhour50 and use code MOMHOUR50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code MOMHOUR50 at factormeals.com/momhour50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. We are welcoming back Vionic as a sponsor today. And Sarah, I will be honest. I was sorting through my warmer weather wardrobe the other day, and it could seriously use a refresh. But you know what's good to go? My shoes. I've got a great selection to choose from thanks to the Vionic Vitals collection. And lately, the pair I keep putting on again and again is the Uptown Loafer. I have two pairs, one in sand suede and the other in camel leather, but please don't make me pick a favorite.
Oh, I won't. I'll let you keep both. That's so funny, Megan, because I was a little jealous of your Uptown Loafers. I was the last one on our team to get a pair, but I just did. I also got mine in the sand suede, and I think I've worn them like 4 times this week. They really finish off a cute spring outfit. The Vionic Vitals collection has the best essential styles for everyday wear to get you ready for spring. And no matter what shoes you choose, you'll be on the go in comfort because every single pair of Vionic shoes delivers their trademark VioMotion technology for a difference you can feel. Vionic sandals, sneakers, and flats all offer incredible support, stability, and cushioning. And every pair comes with a 30-day risk-free trial, so it's easy to try them out.
Use code THEMOMHOUR15 at checkout for 15% off your entire order at VionicShoes.com when you log into your account. That's a one-time use only. Vionic Shoes. Wearable well-being for your feet.
Okay, Megan. Well, over here at the Mom Hour, we are big fans of our sponsor, Our Place. In fact, you, me, and our team member, Katie, were all comparing notes on our favorite product. Katie was telling us that even though she's packing up to move her family to a new house, she cannot put that mini perfect pot from Our Place into the boxes yet because she's using it like every night.
Well, as someone who also has a perfect pot, I got mine as part of their mini home cook duo set. I get it. It's nonstick, which is key, but it also has all these handy features like a steam release lid with a built-in strainer and this nice beechwood spoon that nests on the handle in this perfect little peg.
Okay, well, I didn't get this pot, but now I want it. That sounds so great. Our Place's cookware is great to cook with, beautiful to look at, and healthier for us as well. All of Our Place's products are made without PFAS, also known as forever chemicals. In addition to their cookware and tableware, Our Place is also making waves with their Wonder Oven, the most stylish all-in-one air fryer and toaster oven. Again, free from the forever chemicals found in many of those air fryers.
Listeners, Our Place offers a 100-day trial with free shipping and returns, and we've got a great deal for you. Go to fromourplace.com and enter the code MOMHOUR at checkout to receive 10% off site-wide. That's fromourplace.com, code MOMHOUR.
So my first job where I had to show up and like punch a time card consistently, I was 17. So I was older. I had lots of babysitting and camp counselor and those kinds of things before that. So I had earned money from probably 13, 14, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
But my first restaurant job, coffee shop restaurant job, I was 17. So I was a little bit more that age. I think the difference for, well, I've only had one kid have a job so far. So Luke, here is very hard to get hired until you're 15. I think 14-year-olds can be hired by family businesses and in agriculture. And we do have agriculture here, but not in the immediate area. So I don't know of any teenagers doing a lot of that. But Luke got hired by it's a kids summer camp, but they actually work all year round. And it's a cooking. So it's food and cooking and gardening camps for kids. And so Luke got hired as a full counselor at 15 at minimum wage. And first of all, the minimum wage is so much higher.
Oh my goodness. What was it when you were in high school?
So for restaurant, if you were working somewhere when you were, I don't remember what it was, five something, maybe five. I mean, California has high minimum wage.
Yeah. I think mine in restaurant work was $2.10. That's yes, what I remember.
Yes, because in restaurants, if you were making tips, I definitely made right. $2.65 in Chicago. And that's in the early 2000s. Like, yeah. That's later. In California has pretty high minimum wages. I want to say if it wasn't accounting for tips like the restaurant industry was allowed to do, it was like $5.15 maybe.
And mine was like mine in high school was $4.85. If it wasn't tips, it was $4.85. And if it was tips, it was $2.10. And I can remember when it went up to $5.15, actually. I think I was in college or something. It was very exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was like mid-90s.
Well, anyway, let's just say, suffice to say, it's more than triple.
It's
that.
More.
It's in California.
It's more than triple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Minimum wage
is not that much 15
here. Something. And Luke is getting a little bit more than minimum wage for the work that he's doing. I think he's getting 16. I think 16. I could be wrong about that. So that's like seems.
Ours is $10 or so. Yeah. That's so crazy. But, you know, very different cost of living.
Right.
Yeah.
So in terms of expectations, I'm going to say for this one, it's not that different from what I experienced or what I expected because at this point so far, it's very much in line with stuff he likes to do anyway, which is work with kids, teach kids and cooking and food. And so it was a really good fit. I would say I've been so thankful. It's a really weird feeling to turn over almost like the bossing of your kid. It's not weird to turn it over to school because I guess we're used to that. But the fact that my kid has a boss and gets feedback from that boss and I'm nowhere in the middle, that feels like a milestone. That's just because even with school, you get like the occasional progress report or back to school night or something.
They still text you about stuff. You're like, stop it. But
yeah,
they still
exactly.
do.
There's like newsletters from the school. This is truly like there is someone else and you are turning over that kid and their manners and their lack of manners and their hygiene and their lack of hygiene to another system. And I feel mostly really good about that. So Luke has had a really good first job experience. Reed is my next up-and-coming teenager. He'll be 14 this summer. And man, I have been like putting out to the universe that I wish some kind of odd job. I made him ask the comic book shop if they hire 14-year-olds because I was like, he's just, he, there is something about the summer of 14 where they're like too young for a job. They want to play video games all day. And I know it'll be fine. I'm not worried about it, but I am eager to see what that kid's first job will be. It will be something totally different, and it will probably be stocking shelves at the comic book shop.
So Clara has been jonesing for a job since she turned, well, long time, but since she turned 14, she's been actively looking.
Okay.
And we're having a really hard time finding something that she can do. It's hard. 15, I think, will be a little bit better, but I have talked to a couple people that I know who own like cafes and restaurants and, you know, little coffee shops. And they're like, yeah, it's just kind of hard these days. The 15 and 16 year olds, what a woman I know, she was like, it's a lot of drama and they get stressed out and then they don't come back. And she said, oh, she doesn't really want to hire kids that age anymore because it's a lot of training and work. And then half the time they'd rather be at the beach or they can't handle the pressure and they go. And I was like, okay, I see that. It does make me think about like our kids' expectations for jobs versus ours, like today's kids. I was talking with a good friend of mine who was saying that her son, and they're very much a family who's like, no, you're going to do that. Like very expectations oriented, like, you know, if you hurt your leg, rub some dirt in it and keep walking, that kind of thing, like walk it off. So it's not definitely not like the sort of like, what's the word I'm looking for? Coddled? It's not like they're coddled. Yes, they're not coddled kids. But her son said, well, I want to find a job that I'm passionate about. And this kid is 16. And my friend was like, no, that's not what this is. you don't get to do that. What you get to do is go like sling burgers or something. Because that's what a first job is. Like you can save passion for when you've earned it, basically. And I do wonder, I know that with the choices that kids have today has come a bit of expectation that they're going to have that choice in everything, including their employment. So kids of mine have said things like, well, I want to earn money, but I don't want to deal with the public, or I want to earn money, but I don't want to, like, they have this long list of things they don't want to do.
Yeah.
And it's a little precious sometimes.
Yeah.
Which is not to say that it was probably great that I was working at a gas station at, you know, 11 o'clock at night selling cigarettes to 30-year-old men alone. Right. Maybe that was also not great. I don't really know. There's like a, it's not that one is better or, but it's that as a parent, me going, huh, okay. But when I was a kid, you know.
Yeah. How that goes. And it's maybe somewhere in the middle is, it's very interesting. Yeah. Okay, well, let's talk about, I guess, high school in general. And like you kind of rattled off some of the 80s movies, classic high school milestones already, Megan, but maybe we can just talk about what it happened for us and what has happened for our kids. But I'm thinking of things like prom. You mentioned class ring or Letterman's jacket or getting senior photos taken. So a lot of those are senior and high school milestones, but there's also things like the big homecoming game, the big homecoming dance. And so, I guess I can even start. I have a mixed bag of whether when I was a teenager, did I partake of those things or not? And I would say it's like a 50-50 mixed bag. There were some that I did and then some that I very much didn't. I wasn't really into the going to football games scene. I didn't play a sport. I did sing in choir and madrigals, but I was in some ways pretty disconnected to my class of 1998, which was my graduating class. A lot of my friends were either 1 year older or 1 year younger. Didn't do a class ring. I remember kind of like sticking my nose up at some of the like seniory, like capital S seniory things. And then, you know, some of them I participated in a little bit. My boyfriend the previous year, my boyfriend, when I was a junior, he was a senior, and I actually probably did more with his class than I did with mine. And I was a little bit more of an artsy type with dance and singing. And so like, I guess I kind of straddled that a little. I was definitely not the like, let's go through all these classic all-American high school milestones, but I also wasn't so outside of them that I didn't do any of them. I went to some dances. But yeah, and I also maybe California culture in the 90s too was already a little like counterculture in a way, like something about the kind of all-American like cheerleaders and football. Like we did have that, but I remember being like, no, like we're not doing that.
So I think another big factor. And I kind of touched on this before with the fact that I was in this very tiny rural school, is like, we all did everything. So you could be an art nerd and right. on the football team and into drama. So like everyone kind of wanted to do everything unless you were really trying to be counterculture. Like we had right. like two goths,
two goths.
Right. Two sad goth kids.
We probably
but
had
they
a
would still go to the football
goths.
Games. You know, right. like even the goth kids participated. They just wore their goth clothes, but they still participated in stuff right. because it was such a small school. You kind of had to do like we were actively recruited for everything. So I think I was much more. I had this idea in my head about like what high school would be. And because of this tiny little high school with, I think, 80 kids in my senior class, I literally could do anything. I could have right. been on any team, any athletic team I wanted to be. Right. I would have been terrible, but I could have done any one of them, any sport, any activity. So in my world, that meant do them all, like do get the full experience. So right. I'm not sure that I did every single thing, but it's not like, it's not because I was like sticking my nose up at it. I think it was more like my dad said, well, a class jacket is $250 and a class ring is whatever that was. And you're going to have to pony up the cash or pick a lane. And so I didn't do it all, but I kind of wanted to do it all. I went to the yeah. football games. I got excited yeah. about homecoming. I definitely got professional senior pictures, all of that stuff. What I think is really interesting about now is not just that maybe the culture has changed and my kids are now in a larger school with more options. So kids kind of choose the group they're in or what they're into. And there's more of that identity around the group you're in,
yeah.
which means you sometimes do or don't participate in different things.
Yeah. And sometimes sometimes you're yeah. sort of peer pressured to either
yeah.
go all in or not on something. And that's kind of too bad, but that's adolescence, right?
That's adolescence. The other thing I've noticed is I thought, and this could be maybe a mom of boys thing. I'm not 100% sure. Maybe it'll be different with Clara. Really no idea. But like, I thought I would have a front row seat to all of this.
Uh-huh.
And instead, I find out about stuff at the last minute. I have literally found out that my kid went to a formal dance before. And I was like, you did? What did you wear?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
you know, how did that happen? Or things like that. Like, I'm not kept in the loop about things the way I thought I would be because they're happening outside of my realm. I don't go to school with my kids and the boys aren't like telling me every single thing that happens or weren't when they were all in high school. So, it's been interesting. I will say none of my kids got professional senior pictures. And I don't know if that's just because the reason we had to in the 90s is because no one could take a decent picture at home.
Right.
So that's probably across the board. Like maybe all those senior picture companies are suffering and struggling.
Well, I think there's a lot of like indie photographers, not indie is the wrong word, but like photographers who will do senior portraits, but it's not like they don't go to the studio like you and I did. Didn't you go to a studio?
Oh yeah.
Like yes. I held a rose and put my chin on a mirror.
I leaned up against a pillar and it was like, so this was a photographer close to home and they did both senior pictures and weddings were their two big things. Mm-hmm. And so you would go there and like, it's the same staging that like all the other kids who use that photographer had. You could totally tell even the effect. There were three or four in our area that were very popular. And one had this kind of effect. It was like a filter they did where the kids looked slightly blurred.
Yeah.
And yep. ours didn't. So like that was another hallmark. Like you could tell which of the four photographers your friends had used just by looking at the photo and not even looking at the name in the corner. So very different.
Very, very.
Yeah. I leaned against a tree, same tree as all my friends, whatever. Boys, all of their pictures are like taken in our front yard. Usually the day the senior picture was due to the yearbook committee is when they would come up to me and be like, hey mom, I need a picture for the yearbook. Like, okay. Can you take one on your phone? And then I send it to you, Sarah.
Yes,
to
I was going to say, I've been involved in
multiple
some of
times.
These. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Use my photo, my so. iPhone photo editing skills.
Yes.
That's so funny. Well, I don't have a senior yet. So a lot of these milestones definitely are around seniors. I will concur that things that I would have anticipated for weeks or even months, like shopping for an outfit for a dance or planning who I was going to go to a dance with feel like they come together very last minute. And it's also possible that my memory is flawed. It's also possible that I've kind of elevated these homecoming dance. I mean, I can remember which local restaurants I went to dinner before a homecoming dance, both with groups of friends. Sometimes I went without a date, like with a group of girlfriends. And other times, a lot of times I went with like a boy who was like a friend. Like it was not, yeah, not a romantic thing, but I did have a date. We did the corsage thing. So for 4 years of high school, and then we had both a homecoming and a winter formal, and then there was prom if you were invited by a senior. I went to a lot of dances. I always stood for the pictures that they had at the dance. I have so many of those. I usually did the corsage boutonniere thing. It felt like a lot of ceremony and pomp and circumstance, and mostly I loved that. I mean, I thought that was really fun. I only have the one kid in high school. He did go to homecoming with a group of friends. Luke is friends with very like artsy. I mean, I don't think they call them goth anymore, but like you can picture like very counterculture in the way they dress and present themselves and who they date and who they are, which is awesome. They are an awesome group of kids. So I didn't know if they'd even want to go to homecoming at all, honestly, because in my kind of naivete, I'm like, well, maybe kids who look and dress like that aren't into the school dance thing, but they did. And do you want to know where they went to dinner before, Megan?
Oh my goodness. Cracker Barrel.
IHOP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I was close.
No, you were very close.
Cracker Barrel?
No, we don't. I mean, not in town. I think you could drive somewhere probably.
IHOP is classic kid, yeah, like totally. Pre or post. IHOP reminds me a lot of like cast parties and things like that. Yes. Both when I was in high school doing theater and my kids, they always do their cast parties at
IHOP. You have Denny's in the Midwest, right? Denny's felt like very much an after, like a late night thing. And we used to have a small chain called Caro's. Shout out to like California. I miss Caro's. It was like a Denny's, but I think it was a much smaller chain. I don't
remember.
Do you
have Big Boy?
Not right here. I'm sure. I think they do in the state of California, but not by me.
Because that used to be a similar thing. Like you could go to a Big Boy at midnight and get like a cup of coffee and some pancakes or whatever. Yes. I'm not sure that they do that anymore, though. I don't think they're 24 hour. Denny's still might be.
Okay. Yeah, I think Denny's could be. Yeah. And we had Denny's and Caro's. I don't think we didn't have an IHOP or my friends and I did Caro's and Denny's. But that made me happy that my kid went to homecoming with a group of friends. But back to the thing about anticipating and sort of ceremonializing these things, it felt very haphazard. He wore clothes he already owned. There was no shopping for that. It was like plans coming together last minute, drop me off at IHOP and I'm going to homecoming. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with that. It's just very different. The last thing I'll say is I do have friends whose kids are rocking a much more traditional like high school look in the way that they dress and who they date. And so I don't think it's my experience is not everyone's experience. When I was still on Instagram, I was seeing local moms who I know post pictures of their kids with boutonniere, corsage, homecoming date, the whole
here
thing.
Here too. So it's not over.
It's not my kid.
And I will say also that my friends who have, like Jenna, so Ruby, she does all that stuff. So she goes to all the dances. Like she's got a little group of girlfriends that they do all those things together. That's just, they've just done it differently than so far any of my kids have, including Clara. Like Clara, you know, part of it, I kind of feel like is their intense family bond has made them a little indifferent to stuff like that. Yeah. Like, it's just interesting. Like the family, like my kids' chosen culture is a family centered counterculture. It's like the best way to put it.
I kind of love that.
Kind of do their own thing.
Yeah.
But they've all done something along the way. They've all gotten roped into a dance or a this or that, kind of sounded like the way Luke did. And I just think it's interesting how now it's like, unless I have to help them pay for it or I have to sign a permission slip for it or I have to drive them to it, I often just kind of don't know about it.
Yeah.
And that will become more and more prevalent for you as when you have a driver.
Yes. Yeah.
Sarah, our sponsor, Hiya Health, makes a kids' daily multivitamin that parents can feel great about giving their kids because they have no added sugars or dyes. And our kids who have tried Hiya vitamins have loved them. Which is important, right? Because what good is a bottle of vitamins that your kid won't take?
Hiya was founded by two dads who didn't like the ingredients label on some of the popular children's vitamins they were seeing on store shelves, so they got to work developing a formula that would help fill the most common nutrient gaps in modern kids' diets. Hiya's chewable kids vitamin is made with a blend of 12 organic fruits and vegetables and then supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals. They're also vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, and nut-free.
Hiya manufactures their vitamins right here in the USA with globally sourced ingredients, and then they ship their chewable vitamins directly to your door on a pediatrician-recommended schedule. We've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. You're going to get 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, go to hiyahealth.com/momhour. This deal is not available on their regular website. Go to hiyahealth.com/momhour and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults.
We are welcoming back Ritual as a sponsor today. Megan, we both try to make healthy choices, but you know, sometimes it's tricky to sort through fact and fiction when it comes to supplements and vitamins to figure out just what they're doing for us. That's why I'm glad Ritual keeps studying their products and sharing the results, especially as it relates to women, since women are the focus of all Ritual's products, including the Essential for Women 18 Plus Multivitamin.
And the results are super reassuring. Just as an example, Ritual conducted a university-led clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin, and it was shown to increase vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin is made with high-quality and traceable key nutrients in clean, bioavailable forms with 9 key nutrients in 2 capsules per day. Plus, they are leading the industry when it comes to sustainability. They use lower carbon packaging and prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients. That kind of thoughtfulness really matters to me.
No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/themomhour. Start Ritual or add the Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/themomhour for 25% off. Megan, one thing I love about living in the time that we do is the way technology is transforming so many areas of our lives, not just to make things faster, but also to expand access to more people. And I'm not just talking about meal delivery or transportation, but even like the way our kids learn music.
Yeah, Sarah, children's music education does not always have to be left up to in-person classroom teachers or private instructors like it was when we were growing up. Our sponsor, Carnegie Hall Kids, is putting great online resources right at our kids' fingertips.
Yeah, we've shared about Carnegie Hall Kids in the past, and they're really great educational quizzes, games, and videos for kids and families. But I'm really excited to tell everybody about their new Sights You Can Hear quiz. This is really cool. It's an online quiz you can do with your kids or they can do on their own, and it plays a piece of music, and then you guess what visual image or scene it sounds like. Almost like one of those ink blot tests, but for your ears.
Okay, I really want to take that quiz. And a really cool thing is everything on the Carnegie Hall Kids website is totally free. Listeners, start the musical journey early and go to kids.carnegiehall.org to check out fun, child-friendly games and quizzes free. Yeah, so driving, Sarah. This is something I know you're just steering into,
shall we say? I'm in the middle of it, really.
You're starting to put your pedal on the gas.
somebody is.
Before we jump into talking about driving and our experiences so far with driving, I just want to acknowledge for parents who are coming up at the 14, 15, 16 year old age, maybe if their kids are starting to be interested in driving, and just acknowledge how drastically different, for me, the whole experience of getting my kids to drive has been than it was when I was a kid, starting with the fact that when I was a kid, and I don't know how it was in California, but in Michigan, it was usually this way, driver's ed was done through the school. Yeah. You just signed up for it. It was like, hey, driver's ed is going to be this week, that week, and that week. And we're like, okie dokie. And you signed up for it a year before you wanted your license. End of story. It is so much more complicated and expensive now that I almost can't believe some of my kids are driving.
Yeah. Like, how did we do this here? Yes. I don't know if I would go that far. It's a little different now, and we had to learn what's different, but there's actually quite a bit that's the same. I took the classroom driver's ed in school. Ours was like an elective you could sign up for. So you didn't have to do it through school, but you could. It was like a quarter length elective. Whereas that's not offered, as far as I know, at all in school anymore. So Luke did his driver's ed, like the where you study part, not the in the car part, but the book learning part. He did it online through like a, and it was like a video course, and he, you know, passed the test online. So that part was different, but actually a lot of the DMV stuff and the, in the car, the, so here we have to, you have to have 6 hours in the car with a licensed instructor, like with an instructor. And I had to do that too when I was 16, and that was not provided through the school. It was like private companies that are, have a nod of approval from the DMV.
I see.
So there's quite a bit that's the same, and then a little bit that's different here.
Let me ask you this. How much was, and here it's called segment one and segment two. That's new too. It used to just be kind of one big package.
Okay.
But here it's like segment one is your in-class, is all the in-class stuff, which can sometimes be virtually and some isn't. And I think the 6 hours of initial driving with the instructor are part of that, are like wrapped into that.
Okay.
And I want to say it's like $450 just for that part. Then you have to sign up for a segment two, which is like 6 months later after you've done a bunch of driving with your family. You have to go back and do like a couple more nights in of classroom work. And then you have like actual driving with an instructor, like a lot of it. It's very, and then you have the test, and that's more money.
Oh, wow.
It's more money, like another $80. And then you have to pay for the driver's test too. So like that's more money.
I think we're, I think we're actually at a wash, and California is usually so much more expensive, but I actually think ours was the reverse. The classroom, the virtually delivered classroom learning part, self-paced video course basically was about $80. And then the package of in-car lessons that I have purchased, and Luke has done one of the three, it's 6 hours total. And that was about $550. So, and then yes, then I'm sure we will pay for the test too. So we're not that far off. It just sounds like they break it up differently. So I'll just
and ours
say,
isn't self-paced either. So like those are live, whether they're virtual or in class, it's live, and they're very strict. So like if you're a kid and you're on the camera and you look down at your lap, you can be tossed out. So it's like, it's intense.
Well, actually like, that happened freaking out. in the taking of the permit test was like that, where it was like the camera was watching, it was at home virtual, but like the AI was tracking, like if like same thing. If you look down and look like you're cheating, it was very stressful. But the learning, the actual like progressing through the modules was self-paced. This is so funny. So just where we are, I'm going to say where we are because I'm right in the middle of it. So Luke turned 16 either next week or last week, depending on in real time or when this is airing. But okay,
I hope you know.
Yeah, I know, right? So you can get your permit at 15 and a half here. When I was growing up, it was 15, but 15 and a half. So 15 and a half came around last fall, October, and he was still working his way through the self-paced, and he wanted it, but didn't want it that bad. So it took till January to actually take the permit test and get his permit. He's had his permit since January. And even though he turned 16 at the end of April, he will have to wait until he's had his permit 6 months. So you have to have a permit for 6 months before you can take the road test. And so he won't be eligible to get his license till July, which is a couple months after he turns 16, which to your point about kids waiting longer and longer is not that bad. I mean, I think it's still pretty good. What's really interesting is, and this is where expectations come into play, I figured that once that kid had a learner's permit, he would hop in the driver's seat. We would teach him in a parking lot a couple times. We'd do a couple parking lot sessions, and then he would just be driving and I would be in the passenger seat as much as possible. And Megan, it has not turned out that way. I don't know what it is about this particular child and my particular personality, but he was very excited to get his learner's permit and he can drive. We've gone around town. We've gone around the block. We've done mostly pretty easy driving, like no freeway and no super busy city driving. But it's almost like I think he's a little nervous. And I think it's actually harder than I thought to be the one in the passenger seat. Like, I know everyone jokes about like, oh, it's so scary. But I actually thought, well, just around town, he's a cautious kid. Like, it's not going to be that bad. But I think what I realized is like, it's another mental load for me. So let's say we're going to run to the store. Let's say it's time to go to school. For me to say like, okay, Luke, why don't you drive and I'll sit in the passenger seat? That's another like, it is a different headspace to be in. And so he has had his permit for like 3 or 4 months and he doesn't drive very much. He can, and he has, but we're just not practicing very much. It's really weird.
I have some advice because this is how Owen would have been.
Okay.
My other kids were not. Once they were, well, let me say, Isaac waited didn't wait exactly. Like, I feel like we started a little late with the actual driver's ed, and then it just was, it just took a long time for us to complete. I feel like he was well over 17. Will was just about 17. So I've had two 17 year olds actually. And Owen was about 17 too, but for different reasons.
Okay.
Will jumped in the car. Basically, I don't even know if he and I, like in Michigan, there is like that. I can't remember if it's 6 months. I think it's 6 months. And I think that we had to get 50 hours of driving. 20 of those had to be after dark. So it's very, clear.
I don't know if we have to even sign off on that. There's like, there, it is guidelines, but I'm not sure if like, anyway, continue.
We have to sign like a contract essentially. Okay. I think we might've fudged Will's because once he's kind of gotten the swing of it, it was like, all right, I'm good waiting for the, and then once he got his license, he was off. And I mean, he's been very confident ever since. And I don't remember if we did track hours for a while, and I think maybe we just kind of fell off, and then we're like, well, we need to get you in this car, so let's do it.
Yeah.
Owen was both a little more anxious about it and also very much a rule follower to the letter kind of a guy, which is great. There's no problem with that. I want him to get the experience, obviously. But it was kind of like you had to gear up. Every time he was going to drive, we both had to sort of like get ourselves ready for that.
Yeah.
So the way we did it was I just had two set things that he was always going to do. He was always going to drive to school in the morning, which meant we were always going to get dark driving in and, you know, during the winter and fall. Uh-huh. And he was always going to drive home. And once a week we were going to drive to the mall.
I remember when you did the mall.
Yeah. And the nice thing about the mall drive was that at first we could take back roads. And then when he was a little more confident, we started doing the highway. Okay. So it was kind of like having a rhythm around it where it wasn't really negotiable, and it wasn't like random, really helped. And then he knew the route. Like, he got good at kind of getting us to where we were going and all of those things, and just didn't have to think about it. I would drive up after school to pick him up, and then I would jump into the passenger seat, and
I really like this idea. I think that's I think that's really good. I had this very naive assumption that after gaining a modicum of confidence, I do so much around town driving already that I just thought, well, anytime Luke is with me, we'll just do that. We'll switch seats and off we go. Yeah. And it's like both of us are a little hesitant. I think it feels like it's added work. It's easy for him to sit in the passenger seat and DJ on Spotify. And it's easy for me to drive around town and chat and not, you know, so it's like the slight friction or the slight hurdle has been more than I thought we would encounter at this point. Now, I do think my kid is going to be a really good driver. And so we're experiencing other milestones. We're looking for a third car for the family to have one for him to drive. And I think when it comes time to take the test and get the license, I do think that will feel, I think that will feel like a big milestone. We're just kind of in the messy middle right now.
Well, the other thing that I did that helped sweeten the pot was, he could only play his music if he drove. The way we said it, I made it more like, not like a punishment, but like, hey, when you drive, you get to play whatever music you want, even if it's terrible Japanese death metal, which is what it often was. And when I drove, I told him I like silence when I drive.
Yeah.
So he listened to nothing and he didn't like that. So it just was like one more little, I don't know, incentive.
Yeah.
And once we had done it for like 2 weeks, then it was no problem anymore. Like once we'd done it routinely, we were both in the rhythm.
Yeah. Well, that you're inspiring me. So that was great practical advice that I will be taking.
Okay. Well, here, this isn't exactly a milestone the way we think of milestones, but it is something that I've had to face as a mom of teenagers multiple times now. And that is like the first time they get into trouble, and not like trouble in your house or not like cute trouble at a friend's house. And it's like, oh, the kids, you know, like when Will and his friend looked up sexy ladies on Google. And we found out about that. That was kind of a funny one, but I'm talking like, this kid decided to break into a house under construction with a bunch of his friends and got picked up by the cops. Mm-hmm. Or this other kid went to a sleepover where everyone left at, you know, 2 a.m. and walked down the highway and got picked up by the cops. Or this kid said a really stupid thing on social media and didn't get picked up by the cops, but got in big trouble at school, like big trouble. Mm-hmm. And I just want to put out there that like nobody talks about that stuff.
Yeah.
When it's their kid, nobody wants to be the kid or the parent whose kid did something really dumb and got in big trouble. But I promise you, a lot of us out here have kids who have done something really dumb and got in big trouble. And then there's that sort of, what do I do? Do I have to pile onto the trouble they're already in? Like, I don't think sending them to their room or taking away, you know, the iPad is really going to cut it on this. But what do I do? There's a whole set of like untested parenting skills that come into something so unexpected like that. And I don't really know what else to say about that, except I think it's a thing we don't talk about much, but it's a thing.
Yeah. Well, and it is because we know it's a thing because these are the stories that parents like to gossip and whisper about in parenting in local communities. Like, did you hear that this happened to so-and-so or this is happening? So I think it is always good to remember that those kids getting in big trouble, if they are not yours this time, yours may be capable of something equally boneheaded, shall we say?
Yes.
At some point in time. I really don't like that thing that happens where you can tell parents are like, not my kid, never my kid. Right. And you're like, well, but maybe. We had a local middle school dance that included three different private middle schools I'm trying to think of how to say this to protect all people. My kids were not at the dance, but there were some edible items consumed at a seventh and eighth grade middle school dance.
And they weren't they weren't cookies.
Nope. And, they weren't even, I don't think, at our school, but I say that like it could have been any, right. I mean, seventh and eighth graders are making curious choices everywhere in every socioeconomic group in every city across the country. And I just feel uncomfortable the way sometimes those things get talked about because it can be very othering, like, well, that would never fly in my house, that kind of thing. So anyway, I'm glad you brought it up.
Well, and I have kind of a little story about that. So one of my kids, and I'll just say it was Clara, because in this case, she was cleared. She was innocent. But I had a mom of a sleepover, a mom who had invited Clara to a sleepover and got on the phone with me and made a big deal about how strict she is with her kids and how, because it was a big sleepover, like a lot of girls were going to be there and they were like 12. It was the kind of thing. And it was kind of like COVID was on its way out, but still a thing. And so I talked to the mom and she's like, you know, I'm just really strict with my kids. And like, I really don't let them get, like, basically don't let them do anything wrong. Or like, and I was kind of thinking at the time, like, okay, like, you don't really need to give me this hard sell. Long story short, there were some issues at the sleepover and they all came from her kids. It was all her kids. And then she had to call me and eat crow. And I remember thinking, if you just hadn't made such a big deal yesterday about how awesome you are and how how you would never let things happen on your watch, then this would be such a not a big deal. Like I would be so forgiving. And I still was like, whatever. I've also said dumb things as a mom. And I've also overestimated my own skills and underestimated my kids' abilities to get into trouble. But she kind of had to call me and be like, yeah, you're going to hear some stories from Clara and they're true. And it was all like happening in my house. And I was like, yeah, it's a thing you learn, like never assume your kids wouldn't.
Kind of impressed that she did eat crow in a way, like that she called you. I mean, maybe she had to. Like,
she had
tell
to.
You. Okay. All right.
She had
okay.
to.
I was trying to give her the benefit of the doubt.
But I mean, but she did eat crow. Like, and that's the thing too. She could have like passed it off and she was very nice about it. And she was very complimentary of Clara, who probably because she's kind of a fraidy cat, which is great. It's great to be a fraidy cat, but she didn't participate in what was happening. And so she was actually kind of calling to compliment me while also eating crow. And I was not mad at her. I just remember thinking this conversation would be so much less awkward for you, other mom.
Yeah.
If you just kind of gone in a little less swagger, but that's okay. We all learn things as we go. And since we're talking about milestones and storytelling, the other flip side of that is, isn't it the trouble that we got in high school that makes for the best stories as adults? Yes. So there's this interesting thing we do. We like to tell these funny stories about how we got in this trouble, this brush with the law, this dumb party we went to, whatever. And we somehow forget that our kids will do the same thing and that it'll probably be okay. Like that's going to be part of their story later. Well, I always try to remind myself of that.
I think that's a great reminder. And I'll add another one, which is we like to give a lot of lip service in this day of TikTok psychology, Instagram psychology to imperfection and like self-compassion and being human and making mistakes and failing up and all of these things that like as adults in business and life and self-improvement, we give a lot of lip service to. And I'm sorry, but like that sometimes includes children and teenagers really screwing up. It's like we only yeah. want the screw ups that are like cute. And once the screw ups yes. Have big implications, and of course, we want our kids to be safe. We don't want them under the influence driving a car. And like there are some really big stakes that people are understandably afraid of. But to your point, it makes good stories. And also, it is literally a part of making mistakes. Like if we say that we want that we believe that mistakes are part of what you how you learn and grow, we have to like acknowledge
make room
that,
for them.
Yeah. And that they are sometimes really embarrassing or really disappointing. And those mistakes are going to happen too. I have one little story. That's actually the flip side of this. And it is about parties. Cause you mentioned Clara going to a big party. And I feel like that's another very classic, like 80s, 90s movie, even early aughts movie is like the huge teenage party. Right. And this is one where I did not have a lot of experience as a teenager. I was a very goody two shoes. When I did start to party a little bit, I was 18, almost 18. And I still was only partying with really close friends, like safely in a house. And it just wasn't wild. There was no loud music. There was no. So my funny story is that the first time my then quite young teenager, 13 probably, got invited to this Halloween party. And I don't know why, but I jumped to a conclusion. And I'm picturing that this is like a teenage party. And I reached out to the to the parents. And I wasn't thinking necessarily like substance use, but I was thinking maybe it was going to be a really big party. Maybe there were going to be older kids. Like my kid was in middle school. Maybe there was going to be high school kids there. And so I didn't know the parents. And I did that like awkward thing of reaching out and being like, hi, you know, I'm Luke's mom. Like I've heard there's this gathering and you know, they were really nice. They reached back out and they said, yeah, we have a 15-year-old and he's going to have some friends over. And then the 13-year-old and everyone's going to carve pumpkins. And so then I felt fine about it. And later, over time, I've gotten to know this family. And they are like, this is a family who has groups of teenagers in their backyard carving pumpkins, like throwing a football around. It could not have been a more wholesome party. And I don't regret that I reached out because I was doing my due diligence, but it's funny what a big leap I made to thinking that this was going to look like some party I'd seen in a movie. And it was essentially like a play date. It was like a play date for 13-year-olds.
But the word party, the word party does not really, it's a very limited word, you know, because it can mean all of it. It can mean three kids in the backyard. It can mean a sleepover. It can mean a rager. And sometimes parents are home for the ragers. These days, you can't even
that's true.
You can't necessarily assume that just because the parents put their stamp on it. Now these people sound like, it was very wholesome, but just because they were like, oh yeah, we'll be there. That doesn't necessarily mean it's the party you want your kids at.
Well, and I think it signifies this other milestone that happens, you know, for a lot of parents is you stop knowing all of your kids' friends and you definitely stop knowing their parents. I know Megan, you live in a smaller town and your kids have gone to the school with the same kids, you know, kindergarten through 12th grade. But I've moved my kids twice in their schooling journey. And we have a little bit bigger, more spread out situation.
And I still don't know. Still don't know all my kids' friends' parents.
It felt very sudden that my kid was getting invited to things and going to things where there were other teenagers. Because back to that, like, it's never our kid, right? But other teenagers might be doing something. And I'm glad I checked into it, but I was like a little embarrassed later at like, oh my gosh, this was so innocent. And I was ready to think it was like a rager.
Well, I think that we all, I hope that all parents have a lot of grace for each other with those awkward conversations and awkward questions because none of us know what we're doing really.
No,
and teenagers. How can we know?
You can't know. And I think there are ways to reach out that don't make it about you're not suspecting anyone else. Like you can own your own. I can own my own stuff and say, you know, this is new to me. I'm checking in for this reason. I don't regret that. But I agree. Compassion for everyone.
Passion for all.
Compassion.
You get some compassion and you get some compassion.
Do you have any teenage milestones coming up this spring? You have a graduate. So we've talked a little bit about his journey. Yep. Is there anything Owen is partaking of that the older boys have not? That's maybe a first time senior milestone for you.
We talked about college. He's just way more extra about all of that.
Go to prom?
No, I don't think so. The other kid, the other boys did all go to at least one prom. But Owen, I don't think intends to go. He could still change his mind. I mean, I think Jacob decided the day of prom to go to prom and I had to go find him pants and a cummerbund or something. I don't even remember how he did it. I went to the tuck shop and I was like, I'll take whatever you have left. Who knows, but he doesn't have any plans to, Clara is starting driver's ed. So she'll be the youngest. I think she's the only one starting like this soon after her 15th birthday. And, I'm hoping to get her a job. Other than that, I can't really think of too much coming up that is like this kind of thing, but it's all happening all the time. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're the same. I've kind of touched on the ones I touched on, the driving one. And Luke will have the same summer job this summer he did last summer. So that's not new. He will go to a prom this spring, but it's not like a big senior prom. So it's like a smaller spring dance. So trucking along over here.
I remember the kids talking last year about, not my kids, but who was it? Must have been Ruby. She's just a sophomore. She must have gone to some big fancy dance and saying that, like, I had heard about the dances through my boy's eyes, saying that, like, the lead up was more fun. The going out to eat was more fun. And then the prom itself or the dance, whatever the fancy dance is, was always a little disappointing. And then it was interesting to hear Ruby say the same thing, because I think that was my experience of prom.
Yeah.
Like, everything I leading up was so fun. And then you get there and you're like, well, whatever.
All right, everyone. Well, Mother's Day is this Sunday. And so we are wishing all of you a happy Mother's Day, or whatever kind of Mother's Day, you know, you,
whatever
want,
kind you want
this year. We have many episodes
Mother's Day
in the archives, actually, about the complicated feelings that come with Mother's Day. So if you're feeling complicated, we'll link up a couple of episodes in the show notes. But happy Mother's Day to you, Megan, and to all of our listeners. And we'll talk to everyone next week.
Happy Mother's Day to you, Sarah. Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Mom Hour. Everything we talked about in today's episode is available at themomhour.com. And hey, while you're there, you can find more than 500 podcast episodes, plus articles, playlists, and resources about motherhood and parenting at every stage.
And if you like today's episode, we'd love it if you would take a minute to share the show with another mom in your life. You can also find us on Instagram at The Mom Hour, chatting and interacting with listeners between episodes.
Thanks for being here, friends. We'll talk to you soon.
The Mom Hour is supported by partners like Erica. Erica is the social media health app for teens that gives them the tools to unplug when they need to for improved health, study focus, sleep, and daily balance.
Erica was built by a dad of three boys who saw that teens themselves were really becoming self-aware to the risks of social media, and he wanted to help them self-regulate. Erica works to hide distracting apps from your phone at the touch of a button, keeping them out of sight and out of mind without deleting your data.
Tell your teens about Erica and save 20% on the Erica family plan with promo code THEMOMHOUR. Go to erica.app and search for plans. That's Erica with a K, Erika.app, and use code THEMOMHOUR to save 20%. The Mom Hour is brought to you by the Essential Calendar. Sarah, this is our favorite calendar for busy moms because its beautiful and simple design shows around 3 months at a time.
Yeah, and with summer fast approaching, now is a great time to get the Essential Calendar and see what I've been raving about all these years. Get 10% off your order at theessentialcalendar.com/themomhour. That's 10% off at theessentialcalendar.com/themomhour.